So today's episode, we're going to start with a story. It's the summer of 2023. The news headlines are all about interest rates going up, affordability is at a low point. Negative, negative, negative news. You have inventory. There's not very many homes for sale on the
No,
market.
right.
Then we head into fall. You start to get into August, October, interest rates are going up again, or there's volatility in the stock market. There's other negative news in the news. And transactions slow even more. And this story today is intended to be encouragement for all of our audience of real estate professionals as well as consumers who might hear this. But we're going to talk right now to an anonymous home buyer who just bought a home last week. Even in the midst of everything we talked about, and candidly, I think the smartest person in the room is off camera. I think that the best.
That happens often around here.
That's right.
But in this case,
In this case,
absolutely, because
yes.
all the news articles are saying now is not the time to buy.
Right. But if you fast forward now, 3 months, 6 months, the headlines are also talking about recession. Now we finally might have a recession, or interest rates this week kind of leveled out, or interest rates dropped this week. So after our anonymous home buyer purchased, but it's like, but what happens when that happens? Home prices go up, inventory goes down. It gets so you have a lot of consumers that are waiting, but if they wait till the interest rate goes down, history would tell us that home prices are going to go up the minute that a interest rate is announced that it's lower.
Exactly.
So the thing I think that those of you that have been listening to our podcast for the last couple months have heard Rich and I say over and over again is that we need to replace the headlines in the news that sometimes aren't 100% telling the full story and replace them with facts. And on top of it, people are moving. People have goals in life. People have life events that happen and they are moving. And if we sell, right now we're on track to sell 4 point some million homes this year, which means in October, November, December, 1 million people are going to buy a home.
Right.
And I think sometimes our audience might not hear that from the news. So we want to encourage you, and we want to tell you the story today about someone who bought a home and who is over the moon happy. I would say, I don't want to speak for you, but, and I think the smartest person in the room because she made a very wise move. And I think we talk to her a year from now, I think she'll be pleased as punch even more. But that's just my thoughts. No one has a crystal ball. But without any further ado, I'm Todd Sumney, the Chief Industry Officer for HomeSmart.
And I'm Rich LaRue, Vice President of Corporate Brokerages for the Western Region for HomeSmart and the designated broker for the Phoenix operation.
And today's podcast on the Real Estate Podcast is the Anonymous Home Buyer episode number two. So our second interview with an anonymous home buyer. So
All right, this is going to be
number
fun.
one, congratulations. Thank you for
Yeah.
joining us today, but congratulations on your purchase.
Thank you.
I'm not exaggerating. I think you're the smartest person around right now for
I'm
what you
honored.
did.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you for joining us. Can you, I guess to dig in, can you tell us a little bit about the property that you just purchased?
Well, when I started looking, I knew I wanted at least 3 bedrooms, so that was like the first thing on the to-do list. But I'm also a woman living alone, so I wanted to be sure I felt comfortable and safe in the neighborhood I was in. So the home that I purchased is in a gated community, 3 bedroom, 2.5 bath. It's a townhome, so excited for that.
Love it. Can you take us back? Take us back a little bit to maybe when you remember when this started. Like, how many years ago did you start thinking about this, planning for it? And then, so take us all the way back. And then at some point, though, too, it changed from thinking thinking about it to all of a sudden taking a move toward that purchase, which probably happened sometime in the last, in this year, right? So can you tell us, take us all the way back to when you first started, like goals of home buying, thinking of home buying, you know, when did that all begin?
I've always wanted to purchase a home. It just was always like, oh, the timing's not right, or oh, whatever, fill in the blank for whatever excuse you have.
Right.
But really seriously hunkering down and actually focusing on that as my goal, probably the last 2 years is the focus that I've had. Yeah. And really making sure that I was saving properly for that, setting enough money aside. But gosh, really, honestly, the last 2 years. And it was, and always you sit there at night and look at Zillow listings and like, ooh, like that, don't like that. And so you sort of get to know the zip codes you like and what you're looking for, what you're not, those types of things. So had always been doing that, but then realized really with how the market is right now that I really needed to make a move sooner rather than later.
So what started the ball in motion for this actual purchase?
For me, I finally hit just some milestones in how much money I had saved, and I just bit the bullet and went and started working with a lender to get a pre-qual in place, and the rest is history. So
pre-qual is where you started.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to look at homes and not actually know how much I could spend, right? Like I had a ballpark, but I wanted someone to legitimize that number for me. Like, no, you actually can spend. And I found out what I thought I could actually spend a little bit more than what I thought I was able to spend. So that was a good thing because it opened up more options for me.
Especially in this market.
Yeah, for sure.
Great.
I want to ask why, the question why. Why do you want to buy a home? It seems like a fairly academic question, but why? And I have a follow-up question for that, but.
I wanted the asset. For me, I looked at my mortgage payment as almost like a forced savings account. And I wanted to have that in my portfolio of life. I didn't want to be flushing my money down the toilet every month or paying someone else's mortgage. I wanted it to be my home and an asset that belonged to me. So that was really important to me.
Okay, so my follow-up question is, why now? There's so many news articles out there. In fact, just last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that now is the time to rent, not buy. You know, and every real estate professional in the nation took a stab to the heart on that one. But so why now?
Well, as Todd alluded to in his story time at the top of the podcast, I feel very strongly in align with his thinking that interest rates aren't going to stay as high as they are forever. And when those come down, that doesn't solve our inventory issue. So as that rate comes down and all of the buyers that have been sitting on the sidelines come into the market, we still don't have inventory to meet that need. And so as a result, what happens to the home prices? Well, they're probably going to go up. And so I just felt very strongly that this really was kind of like my final frontier, like get in now or you'll be sad you didn't. And that's just how I felt about it.
Great answer.
That's a great answer. Making the hair stand up.
Yeah, well, it sounds like some of the stuff that we've been saying. And so what happens in the next year or so? Yeah, congratulations.
Well,
and
I sat on the sidelines for years looking at, you know, $250,000 priced homes and being like, oh, that feels like a lot of money. And then those 250 homes are now priced at 350 or 450 or 550. And that's consistently been the trajectory of housing prices for the last 3 years. It has not gone down, right? It's consistently gone up. And I didn't want to be the person sitting on the sideline when the $400,000 home is now $600,000, right? That I didn't want that to be my story. And so since I had the ability to make the move now, that was something that I wanted to prioritize.
Excellent. And then if interest rates go down,
I will refinance. I'm already saving to refinance in a year because they will go down because it's an election year.
Okay.
Somebody's done their homework.
I like that.
And if for some reason interest rates go up, then you're a genius for buying now and locking in the rate that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I don't, for the buyers that are sitting on the sidelines waiting to see 2 or 3% again, I don't believe that we'll see those again in my lifetime. I think that 4% or 5% is realistic, but to sit on the sidelines and wait for a 2.5% rate, I don't think is something that's worth waiting for, because I don't think it's going to come around again.
We share your thoughts on that.
Me personally.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about the emotional aspect of it. You know, it kind of piggybacks a little bit on Rich's, you know, why question, but you happy today? You fulfilled?
I'm happy to not keep writing like giant checks to people, but yes, I'm really excited. It's, you know, it's a home that's mine.
Right.
I never thought I would do this alone, but here I am. Like, it's my home, and I did it on my own, and I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. That's great.
Are you spending more for your mortgage payment now than you were paying in rent, or is it pretty comparable?
I am paying more for my mortgage payment,
mm-hmm.
But my home is over 1,000 square foot larger than the last time I was renting, and
wow.
I have 2 bedrooms and a bathroom and a half more than that. So it's also in a gated community, et cetera, right? So those things would be the reason why it is more, and then also my rate, right? So that was the other factor of,
sure.
And we can, you know, we can get more into this, but part of what we were able to negotiate was some seller concessions. Initially, I thought I was going to do a 2-1 buy down to my rate, but I ended up taking that money and putting it towards closing. So I just had more cash on hand now to do home improvements, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly my thought was, do I really want to buy down the rate to save $500 a month, which might be really important for someone, or can I hunker down, pay the rate, and then refinance when it becomes appropriate? And for me, that was what made the most sense, was just to use that money to foreclose.
Would you consider yourself a highly analytical person?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And well done. I mean, obviously, you have thought through many aspects of this just by your immediate answers and your early answers in this recording. So, yeah, I think that your thought process through that is an advantage. You know, even though there is an emotional aspect to the reason why you purchase, it seems like you're very well balanced with that. So,
I try to be. It is a very emotional process. So I think you also, as much as you can, do have to try to remove a little bit of emotion from it and be very logical about it.
Right.
Because it is involving money and transactions. And I mean, so you do have to at times be more logical than emotional when it comes to it. But that said, I am very excited to be a homeowner.
So let's dig into some of the process, into some of the professionals that helped you with that. And so I assume, did your professionals, the mortgage professionals you were working with, the realtor, the title, et cetera, did they help you through some of that emotional aspect?
Yes. And I think that was I think that is the most important aspect of who you collaborate with in the process, because you do have a choice, right? You're not strapped to having to use this lender or you have to use this title company. You have choice in that. And so it was really important that I had people around me that were responsive and supportive, able to answer my questions. It doesn't help that I've worked in the industry, both mortgage and real estate, right? So sometimes I know the questions to ask and maybe too much, right? So when I wasn't getting the responses, it didn't make me feel confident. And so I actually did pass on a specific lender and worked with someone else because I didn't feel confident in their ability to deliver on the transaction.
So who did you start with first? So did you start with mortgage or a real estate professional?
So I just went on my merry way and found someone who was, you know, well reviewed online and got my prequal done.
Okay. On the mortgage front.
Right.
Okay.
And then found the realtor I worked with through friends. That was another thing that was really important to me. I wanted someone that I know people have worked with. Another thing that was really important to me as well is someone who was an aggressive negotiator. I didn't want someone to just say, well, sounds good, let's sign. I wanted someone to really push back on the seller and the seller agent to get concessions, to, you know, get buy downs if we wanted that. And so those things were really, really important to me. And when I started working with my realtor, he introduced me to a different lender who was able to offer more.
Okay.
More than the lender that you found online.
Initially,
that
yeah.
you initially thought you were very happy with.
Yes.
Tell us more about that process.
Well, it's a company that my realtor had worked with for a long time. So they had that long-standing relationship. Because of that, they had more variety in loan programs they could offer, as well as more flexibility with buy-down options, et cetera. And so that's what really attracted me to them. Mm-hmm. They were much more responsive. They had much more support staff to help throughout the process. So if I couldn't talk to the MLO himself, there was a TC or someone else that I could speak with immediately. If they missed a call, they were calling me back in 30 seconds, right? So that was something else that was really important to me. I didn't want, working with a Lone Ranger is fine, but often you do need a team around you to help get these things done and to be responsive to clients. And so that was something that was important to me too.
Great. Thanks for sharing that.
So staying on the mortgage front, knowledge, offerings and programs, response time and service, credibility, which of those were, like, if you could rank them, or were they all equal?
I think they're all a little bit equal. If I had to say one stands out a little bit higher than the others, for me, even though I didn't use a lot of the creative financing options they had, knowing that they had that and the ability to, you know, support that process is also something that attracted me to them. But the service is so important. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could pick one as more important than the other.
Right.
Especially when you're spending like the largest amount of money you'll spend in your life. Like you need people to be responsive.
Right.
So you were renting before you purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were under the gun, so to speak, to find the new place to buy because your lease was up? Were you shopping for a long time? Was it an easy process? Tell us more about that process, that ebb and flow of actually hunting and finding the house.
So for me, I've rented for years, but at this period in my life, I've actually been living with family to support my mom in healthcare for my father. Mm. So that actually made it much easier. I didn't have to worry about leases or being out of a certain place at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So from that aspect, it was, well, if it happens, it happens, and then we'll figure out the timeline, right? There wasn't like sort of like stringent milestones that I
takes
had
the pressure
to
off.
Yeah, there wasn't much pressure, but when I started looking at properties, it became very clear right away what I didn't want versus what I did want. One thing I noticed that's a trend, especially in this area where we live in the Phoenix metropolitan area, there's a lot of investment properties, which is not a bad thing, but they're just quick flips, and it's, for lack of a better word, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. They put in some nice floors and some new door handles and then sell it to you for $100,000 more than what they bought it for. And so I was seeing a lot of that, and I could tell right away that that's not what I wanted. I wanted something that was a little bit more sturdy and a little bit more well-developed and those types of things. And so it easily ruled out a lot of properties that I knew I wouldn't be looking at. Even though I might have even been able to pay less, I just knew that that wasn't for me. Also, I'm a single female, so I wanted to feel safe and secure in my home. So that immediately prioritized, you know, the type of community I was looking to live in. Mm-hmm. And so then as soon as I found the unit that I liked, there were actually multiple units in this townhome community that I liked. And so we put in multiple offers initially and then worked.
Oh, interesting. All right. Yeah. Talk to us about that strategy.
Multiple offer strategy.
Yeah. How did that go? What, obviously you're wanting to get the best buy possible, And so that's your strategy. Put in a lot of offers and see what you get back.
Yeah. So, and that was really the approach. I knew what I wanted to ask for as far as concessions. So I had that flexibility to use it to buy down my rate if I wanted, use it for whatever, right? That's what concessions are. And so that was a big thing for me, is having a seller that was like, yep, I want to move my property, give her the concessions. And so that was like probably number one on my list.
So in a very emotional process, you were able to detach from that
a little bit.
And get really logical. And I mean, was there another property in the area that you really fell in love with and said, oh, this is the one I want, you know, but this is the one that will give me what I want?
So this is actually a really fun part of the story. My parents thought I was crazy, but here goes nothing. So one of the townhomes that I looked at, liked it, sure, let's put in an offer. About 5-6 hours later, my realtor reached back out to me and said, there's another unit. It's exactly the same of what we just looked at, a little bit bigger square footage, better appliances, better light in the home in general, newer features, all of these things. Sent me the Zillow listing. I took a look and I'm like, yeah, I dig it. Let's put an offer in on that one too, because it was exactly the same as what I had just looked at. The only difference was the other unit was not as well lit, kind of older appliances, older fixtures. So it just looked a little bit more dated than the other one. So we put an offer in on both, and the offer that got accepted actually was on the property that I'd never even seen. I had never even been in the property until I went for my final walkthrough. Never had even looked at it. So it was just an interesting thing. Coincidentally, the initial property I looked at is still sitting on the market because they refused to lower their listing price.
Wow.
Okay.
Still sitting there. It's now been on the market for over 40 days.
Okay. Well, and the new unit that you actually bought, that was extra homework by your agent.
Right.
Who you hadn't looked at, who called you up afterwards and said, hey, by the way, this other property is available. So
yeah,
that's a neat part of the story for me.
And that was the other thing too. The realtor I worked with really goes above and beyond, and he also has worked with multiple friends in my sort of sphere of influence. And mm-hmm. so he really cares a lot about those clients, right? Because we're all interconnected.
Right.
And so, yeah, he went above and beyond to find the additional listing that was exactly the same as what we just looked at. And we were able to negotiate down on price and seller concessions and all sorts of other things that came up along the way.
So can you tell me about your first meeting with that realtor? Like, did he do a buyer presentation? What was the buyer presentation like? What resonated with you in the buyer presentation where you said, this is the person I want to work with?
Well, one, I had already known a little bit about, reputation. I had known a little bit about him already because mm-hmm. he had worked with quite a few of my friends. And so I'd already known, like, I like his style. Again, one of the number one things that was a priority for me was someone who was just really a strong negotiator, someone who wasn't going to back down from a difficult negotiation situation, someone that had the answers to a seller's questions, the proper reasoning behind why we were asking for what we were asking for. And so I'd already known that he had a little bit of that quality that I was looking for.
How did you know that? Because of your friends' experiences and them sharing that experience with you? Or did you see it on Instagram? Or had he talked to you about it at parties? Or what was it? You
know? Both, actually. Okay. So definitely like sphere of influence, friends talking about working with him. Mm-hmm. But then also them posting like, oh, we just closed on this property, and then me going and looking at his account, right? And so he would post videos and educational content and post about the properties he had just closed and post, you know, the timelines and what he was able to do for his clients and how he negotiated for them. He would post all that information. That's and great. So when I saw that, I was like, this is the kind of person I need to work with. Like someone, he clearly knows what he's doing. So that was the big thing for me, is that negotiation aspect of it. But then as far as the buyer sort of consultation went, it wasn't in person. We did it over the phone. walked me through all of the typical questions, you know, what are you looking for? How long of a timeline are you looking at? You know, have you started talking to any lenders? You know, what type of properties, what neighborhood, what zip codes? I mean, all of the things, you know, how long do you want to live in this home? Is it just you? Who else is going to live with you? Like all of those questions that you should be asking a buyer as you start to work with them. And so for me, he made me feel comfortable that he had my best interest at heart. And one of the final questions when he was chatting with me was, well, how fast do you want to go? Like, are we talking like 30 days in the next 90 days? And I was like, well, yeah, in the next 90 days would be good. And then 3 weeks later, I closed.
Nice.
So much more fast than even 30 days.
3 weeks later, you closed or closed. 3 weeks, later, you made the offer?
Offer to close 3 weeks.
Wow. And how long was the search from the start?
A week.
Wow. Okay. Great.
So what was one of the first things that your agent had you do?
Well, pretty shortly after we started looking at properties, I'd only looked at a property before we put in any offers. He went over buyer agency agreements with me, had me sign those before proceeding with any, you know, agreements, offers, anything like that.
Got it. Excellent.
Great. So I got a couple rapid fire questions.
Sure.
How did you work with him? Did you use apps, software, the MLS? Did he send you listings? Were you searching on your own and then sharing with him? Can you talk a little bit about how you two worked together?
Yes to all of that. So he, through his brokerage, they do have apps that you can use, as well as the lender did, right? Mm-hmm. So both the lender's app and the realtor's brokerage app. And then via email, constantly,
okay.
And as well as text,
okay.
All of them. So
portals.
The lender as well as the realtor, text message constantly.
Okay. Consumer portals, websites.
Yep.
Okay. Were you sharing them with your family? How important was, did you share listings you liked?
Yeah.
With family, friends?
Well, actually one of the evenings we had, my agent and I had made a list of all the properties we wanted to go take a look at the next day. And it was, the sun was setting, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go drive a few of these neighborhoods at night and just see if I even want to look at the house. And so I went and drove the neighborhoods at night, and right away it knocked like three of them even off the list. So I immediately texted my realtor and said, we don't even need to go look at these. I'm not interested. Because I knew I wouldn't feel safe or comfortable in that neighborhood, and that was something that was extremely important.
It just wasn't
to me.
What you were looking
right.
for.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Great. How important was proximity to work, or did it not matter? It mattered more where you wanted to live. Just trying to.
Definitely needed to be closer to work, so that was something that
okay.
I wanted to prioritize. My drive to work will be like 12 to 15 minutes now versus like 50 minutes before.
Okay. 50,
so,
50?
50.
Oh.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So saving
welcome
some
back to
time.
Your day.
I know, right? It's incredible. Welcome back to like
so
having
how,
time.
How much of an influence did your family, you said you were living with your family at the time, how much of an influence did they have on the property that you purchased?
Quite a bit. Anytime I would go out and drive a neighborhood or, you know, look at any properties, you know, by doing a quick drive by, my mom or my dad would come with me. They'd want to see it as well.
Sure.
My dad especially, even now, he'll still be like, I don't think you should move. I'm not ready for you to move.
Right.
And then actually just this past weekend, I took him over to the new house and he got to see it. I haven't moved in yet. And so he got to see the property and that it's,
you should have caused more trouble.
He felt,
at,
and now,
with
he, now
parents,
he feels
right?
much better, much, much better.
Nice.
It has the confidence that I'm, you know, made the right decision, but
that's great.
No, they were heavily involved because they also wanted to have peace of mind that I was, you know, mm-hmm. safe and in the right place.
Well, and I think that there's a message there. I don't think there's a message there. There is a message there for the real estate professionals who are listening in right now, that when, you know, we're working with buyer clients and there's family involved, even remotely involved, that there's influence there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to pay attention to that.
There is, yeah.
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 It's critically important.
Did you buy above your projected price point or at your price point or below?
Above.
I've heard that often, you know, from buyers. You know, they have their price point and then they just go a little
significantly
bit above.
Slightly above?
Slightly above. Okay. It was not significantly above. Right. Slightly above. At first, when I very first started the process, I felt a little discouraged because when I first got that pre-qual back and they pre-qualify you for the amount you're asking. They either say yes or no, right? So for my original ask, I qualified. And so I started looking at that price point and there was nothing out there. And so I'm like, oh, I guess I have to like raise the roof a little bit here. And so we did, raised it a bit. And I mean, I could have done a little bit more, but I also didn't want to put myself in a position where I wasn't comfortable with those monthly payments or the current, rates. So I didn't want to do that to myself.
Okay.
Makes sense.
What scared you the most?
Honestly, it's just that it's legitimately one of the largest purchases I'll make in my lifetime. And so that is like the scary part to me. I do look at a mortgage as like a forced savings account, right? Yeah, it's a monthly investment into equity in the home. And that's something as an asset that I'll have for as long as I want to have
it. And we also have the expense of housing. No matter where we're living, there is an expense there. Now, living with our parents, maybe not it's not a monetary expense, but it could be a time and an emotional expense as well. But, I mean, we pay for the space that we occupy. And so converting that into a mortgage is good.
Well, and it's... So it was the like sticker shock of the price tag for sure. It's a substantial amount of money that you're committing to. But when I look at housing cost in general for the size of home I have, if I wanted to go and rent that, my mortgage is probably only $500 to $600 more a month than it would cost to rent the home I'm living in. And so for me, that just didn't make sense to continue to rent that type of home.
What did you like least about the entire process?
All of the constant paperwork back and forth. Like every moment of every day for about 2 weeks, there was something I had to sign or return or some, video I had to watch or something. That was just the worst part of it all, was just making sure all those duckies were in a row, that like that next document was signed. Whether it was from my realtor or my MLO I was working with, it just was constant. Or whether it was from title it was nonstop for like 2 weeks straight.
What'd you like most about the process?
Honestly, the best part was just, sort of daydreaming about the home that I wanted and then going out and finding that. And now realizing that it's my home and I kind of get to like nest and settle in and make it my space. And if I want to paint, if I want to knock down walls, like it's my space that I can make my own, which I think is really great.
So let's talk about that a little bit more, the daydreaming of the property. Did you end up with what you were daydreaming about or what you were visualizing?
I did. So I was open to all sorts of different neighborhoods and zip codes. But there was one neighborhood in particular that as long as I can remember, I had always just envisioned myself living in. I've had friends that lived in the area. And so anytime I'd go visit them, I was just like, oh, I really like it over here. Like it's not too loud. It's not too quiet. It's just right. It was very Goldilocks. And so
I love it.
I actually did end up, and truly every time I would drive by this townhouse community, I'd be like, I like that place. Like, I like that community. And it just so happened that there right now, I still think there are quite a few units available in the community I purchased in. So it just sort of all worked out.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Created like a mental dream board.
And the universe provides. Yeah.
What advice would you give other consumers who want to purchase a home like you?
Couple of things. One, if you are able, right now to make a home purchase happen, I really think it's important to do that right now. If you're able to, and that's just my personal opinion. As I shared at the beginning, I do think that the cost of housing is going to just continue to increase. And if you can get in the mortgage game right now, get in, is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. So I would firstly say that. But then the second thing is, I wouldn't shy away from any sort of creative financing. Like if you can qualify for any sort of assistance programs, take advantage of them now. If you can qualify for whatever type of programs are out there right now to get you into a home, learn about them and use them. They're there for us to use. So I would prioritize finding a way to get creative with my financing to get myself into a home sooner rather than later. I think there's like a huge misconception that you have to have these huge 20% plus down payments, and that just simply isn't true. 3% conventional is possible. So I wouldn't shy away from exploring that if you're able to.
Right.
If you were to do something different, what would that be? Throughout any part of the process,
seven years ago.
Fair.
Well, life happens when it happens, right? So 7 years ago, I don't think I was in a place to do that on my own, and so life changes, and now I'm in a position where I was able to, right? So timing is just, it is what it is. But I knew that I didn't want to continue to sit on the sidelines and watch 450 turn into 550 and 550 turn into 650 and 650 turn into 70. And before I know it, a really simple property is like $1 million property. Like that might not happen, but these are the things that I'm thinking of, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to sit on the sidelines and watch that happen because prices have gone up consistently for the past 3 to 5 years. And so I'm like, I got to get in. And so that's what I did.
Good for you. Good for you for recognizing that and jumping in. And I love the analogy of, you're tired of being on the sidelines. Like, send me in, coach.
Yeah. It's that really.
You're sending yourself in.
I think I did say that to my realtor at one point. Put me in, coach. I think that was something I said. So
we talk often about how, when we interview our top agents, a servant heart and this attitude of service and helping consumers really seems to often come through when you're talking to those really top agents helping a lot of home buyers and sellers. What advice would you give our listener audience who are realtors, who are professionals, based on what you've learned from this process?
People have to know that you care about them more than you care about a transaction. A transaction happens as a byproduct for you caring for your client. And I think they need to know that. They need to know that day or night you're available, right? If they've got a question, they're making one of the biggest financial decisions of their life. They need someone that's there as someone to consult with, someone to console them, all of those things. And so you need to find ways to make your clients feel cared for and comfortable with you and demonstrate that you do care. There's many times that the realtor I worked with went above and beyond. Even now, I'm closed on the property. And he's like, let me know when you want to throw an open house. I'll throw it for you. So he just goes above and beyond in his care for his clients.
Okay, for our listeners.
I didn't mean open house. I meant housewarming. I'm not selling anytime soon.
right. But for our listeners, this is where you want to rewind and go back 90 seconds and listen to that again. Right. That is a key. Mic drop.
Yeah.
We could end right now.
We could.
But somebody has more questions.
No, I've got all my questions. It's more of any parting thoughts here, on today's, anything we didn't cover from your experience that you'd like to highlight?
What do you want to share with prospective buyers, somebody who's listening to this, who's thinking of buying, or agents who are listening, whether it be a listing agent, how can I attract more buyers and buyer's agents to my property, or buyer's agents? How can they serve their clients better? Yeah. Anything at all that comes to mind?
Well, first I would say that real estate, although it's very large in numbers, it's a small, tight-knit community, and everybody knows everybody. The title people know all the title people, all the MLOs know each other regardless of where you work, all the agents know each other regardless of where you work. And so I would just say that your reputation does very much precede you. And going back to what I said before, the care and consideration you have for your clients should spill over into the relationships that you have with all of those supporting roles in a transaction. Because for me, going from offer to closing on my property in 3 weeks, that's not because of anything I did. That's because of the relationships my realtor had with all of that supporting cast, right? Whether it was the title company, the escrow company, the MLO, all of it. None of it would have happened in such a timely manner had he not shown care and courtesy to all of those folks, you know, a track record of it with those folks. And so it was just nice to feel like I was working with a team of people, not just these like separate individuals that were all sending me documents to sign. It really felt like a comprehensive team that was coming alongside me to make this happen. So I think it just comes back to, you know, caring for your, really showing care for your clients. And transactions happen as a result, and referrals happen as a result of that. So I don't know if you've heard me say many times, right, that he was referred to me because he's worked with many of my friends. Had they not had that same experience that I had, he wouldn't have been referred to me, right? So it's your sphere of influence really does matter. And just as a result of my transaction, I've already recommended him to two or three other people already, right? Because they're like, wow, he sounds awesome. Sounds like you had a great experience. Give me his information, right? So that doesn't happen on accident.
Right.
Excellent.
I think that's a great place to end. And for me, kudos to your real estate agent, your realtor. You know, it sounds like you would use them again, refer them.
I absolutely would. And he actually is starting to work with my sister now. So
there you go.
Keeping it, you know, in the
family. Oh my gosh, everybody's moving out of mom and dad's house?
Well, no, she already owns her home. That could be another great interview for you guys. She owns her own home, has a tremendous amount of equity, and is looking at investment properties now. So
cool.
Great.
That's what we're doing now.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. This is very insightful. And so you've been able to articulate your experience so well that I think our audience gets it. And so I get it. I get where you're coming from. So if I get it, I know our audience is going to get it. So thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So there you have it. That's this episode of the Real Estate Podcast. There's so many takeaways, so many moments you could rewind in this episode. So thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
And remember to smash that like button.
There you go. And we'll see you back on future episodes.
We'll see you soon.
Take care.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.